You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Frames Per Second Podcast. Fire, 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 fire.
How was the block party, by the way?
It was dope. It almost killed me, but I did that shit.
But you said you had to talk to me about something?
Yeah.
What is it?
What's going on? It's your boy, Nicky Duce, a.k.a. Mr. No Disrespect, and you now tune in to the Frames Per Second Podcast. In this episode, we are continuing on our weekly reviews of the hit HBO series Insecure. And this episode will be recapping episode 8 titled Low Key Happy. And we are happy to have this guest on again, Tyler from Dead End Gaming. How you doing?
What up? Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate you coming through. So let's just get into the episode. From what I was seeing before I even watched the episode, a lot of people on social media, when they weren't talking about the other main serious shit going on in the world right now, they were actually talking about how good this episode was. So I was wanting to get y'all thoughts on this episode.
This is probably my favorite episode.
I think I concur. I think even though it was a little predictable, and even though I can see people thinking it was corny, I love their chemistry together, and it just made me smile.
Yeah, I fucks with it. I'm trying to think. I don't think we've never seen Ethan and Lawrence with this type of chemistry before, because in season one, it was just oh yeah, nigga, you on the couch and you trying to get your life together. And it was we saw them at the tail end of the relationship ending. So even though it took me not a relationship, but to see them kind of rekindle maybe old things that we didn't see before the show start, just kind of give you that imagination that how it was before it got to where it got to when the show first started. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty dope. So yeah, this was definitely a dope episode.
Yeah, we never seen them in their good times.
Right.
Relationship.
And I feel like we got a glimpse of that. You know what I'm saying? So I thought, which was cool. I thought that was good to see.
What you think, Mike?
I agree. This was probably my favorite episode. I'm actually surprised by everybody else's response. I thought everyone else was going to hate it. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed this episode.
I think it was my favorite episode of the series. I mean, actually. So I loved it. I loved it a lot. So much, I watched it twice. Back to back.
Damn.
I did, and I never do that. Ever.
Dang, a series. That's
a statement.
Tyler, yeah. do you agree with that statement?
I was fucking disgusted, for most of it. And so I can tell, since I'm the one dissenting voice, that this is about to be an interesting episode for me. This episode of Frames Per Second, I mean, for me, since I'm the only one that's not on that same page. I liked the writing. I feel because Natasha Rockwell wrote this episode, and I feel she did a really good job. There were a lot of funny moments in it. And the cinematography was fucking incredible. Keira Kelly was the DP on this, and she's the bomb. She's also did Ava DuVernay's 13th, and she did a bunch of those shows. She's one of the only black female DPs but one of the only ones that you really see regularly getting stuff in Hollywood and stuff like that. She killed it. There was some really beautiful shots in here. So writing, cinematography, art design, all of that were bomb, but Lawrence irritates my entire fucking soul. And while there were aspects of it, because at the beginning of the episode I was all about it, right? But as soon as fucking Gondola started texting him, and I was oh, this is why I don't fuck with Lawrence, because And we can come back around to that later, but I was irritated. It just reminded me of when old girl said to Lawrence, like, a couple seasons ago, she was like, you a fuck nigga. In fact, you even worse than a fuck nigga. You a fuck nigga that thinks you a good dude. And I thought about that, like, when I was watching it, and I was just like, I was, ugh.
Well, damn. Shit. I mean, I think I'm half and half. I agree with everything, Tyler, like, what you said about the episode. I think it kind of forces people to say, this is a beautiful episode. This is great. But I'm going to keep the same energy as I've been. I do not want to see Issa and Lawrence get back together. So the way that this episode went kind of made me want to be like, this makes no sense as far as why what happened happened. And so maybe me and Tyler, I don't know, maybe Tyler, I'm going to your point, but for me, that's what it was. It was just more about how this went about. But yeah, let's get into the episode.
I really thought this was about to be like Tyler versus everybody today.
Yeah, we're
welcome. I can't like see everybody's world. Face too, huh?
I said, like, my world. That's how I feel a lot of times.
Look at my face. I can't see
everybody's face. It's driving me crazy. I'm about to pull this up on my phone or something because this ain't working.
You're better off not seeing our faces right now.
So the episode starts off with Lawrence waiting on Issa at I think a nice restaurant, nice bar, and he was waiting like somebody on their first date. Like, did y'all get that same feeling? Like, he was like very eager and like dumb excited to see Issa again, especially coming back from San Francisco that we figured out last week.
What are you asking again?
Did you feel the tension with Lawrence, like the anticipation of their date?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he checking his breath. I mean, yeah.
I think it showed me that, you know, I was that they're both like awkward and weird, you know, with him almost choking on the damn breath mint. And then, of course, what happened with Issa. So that's what I got from that. It was like they're almost similar in their own sort of way.
I agree. I mean, granted, you did get that it's like he was a little, he did have a nervous energy, but I got more so that they're both the same kind of awkward. It just kind of, to Brandon's point, it reminded you why they were together in the first place. They just get each other.
That's what I was going to ask B. Like, have you ever fell on your face like that before? Like how Issa did?
I mean, not on a date, but I think we all bust our ass at one point in our life, but just not in the atmosphere like that. Like, I've never just bust my ass like on a date like that. So no, but you're cool for that shit at least.
tell him, B. Say I'm too smooth to be embarrassed.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, I busted my ass trying to talk to a girl one time in the winter, but that's another. That's another story for another day.
Sucks to be you, Nick.
I relate it to Issa, all right? I relate to Issa a lot. The beginning of this episode, I felt like kind of set the theme as far as them being different. Hold on, Mike. I'm getting to you.
You forgot like you always do.
I was going to hit you with another question, Mike.
It's okay, Nick. It's okay. Yeah,
can you let me Steve Harvey and host real quick? What I was getting to is that the beginning of the episode, it set the theme of like them being kind of the same but different. So that's why, like, Mike, I was going to ask you, when Lawrence tried to order Issa that drink, and instead of like whiskey, she's like, I tried something new. It's got vodka now. Did this describe their relationship as far as what it is right now? Is it? It's familiar, yet it's a little different.
Well, goddamn, Nick. No, that's deep. I did not think of that. I'm going to say you're right, because damn. All right, man. Yeah, you got me there, Nick. that makes sense. I just thought she just was drinking something different. I never put that much thought into that part.
Oh, man.
No, you didn't either.
Yeah. They kept making references to it.
Let Nick have this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or you can just continue making me feel stupid. Either one, whatever makes y'all feel better.
Damn, that was deep, Nick.
So I was the only one that didn't think about that? Okay, that's okay. That's all right. Yeah.
Tyler, you want to save him real quick?
You don't have to.
You're not the only one, Mike.
My man, thank you.
Tyler, what did you think about like the beginning or the setting of like this episode and how they were communicating like early on, as far as I feel like they were kind of trying each other out?
I fucked with the beginning of the episode really, really heavy, and I felt like that was just really mature of them and kind of demonstrated, it was like demonstrative of a maturity that you hadn't really seen before in either of them, especially when you consider like how the relationship ended in the first place. Like maybe if they had communicated all of this stuff then things wouldn't have went down the way that they did, and they would have stayed together, or you know, like Issa wouldn't have cheated, or things wouldn't have went the way that they did if they had talked about all of that. And sometimes it's difficult for people to do that in the moment. Sometimes you gotta like walk away from it and like look back and see the ways that you fucked up, or see the ways that you could have been better once you're again like mature enough to see the mistakes that you made. So like that was really, really dope. And especially because communication has been such a big thing during this season, I really enjoyed seeing the way that they like communicated in a really healthy way.
Rye, you were saying me and you had the same point as far as the question I had to Mike. Would you care to elaborate on that?
You talking about the drink thing?
Well, just more about just like, I don't know, it felt like they were trying to really emphasize that Lawrence is trying to win her back. Yet, because of the time between them, things have changed a little bit. And he's having to kind of relearn Issa.
I don't think he's trying to, I didn't get that. I don't think he's trying to win her back. I think he just, you know, kind of see where they stand, like where they are in life, just kind of catch up and see if it's even like a spark there. I don't think it's a win back thing. I think it's just a, you know, I've been thinking about you. Want to know if you're thinking about me? If you are, let's hang out.
I don't even think that he went into meeting with them to see if there was a spark or to see if anything could be rekindled. I think that the conversation he had with Gorgonzola just really made him think about whether, I can't stand her. I swear I can't stand her after this episode. But I think that it really got him to thinking about, like, where did we fuck up? And I think, especially if you have, when you end a relationship, especially in the manner in which there is ended, as you reflect on it, it's like, even for the next relationship, where did I go wrong? Where did you go wrong? What should I have done different so that I don't make the same mistakes? I don't necessarily think he was saying, I want to see where this can go as much as should I have tried harder? Should I have done things different? I just didn't get the, I'm trying to see what's up with you.
I don't know. His faces were saying different.
Yeah, man. That's what I was, B, what would you?
He was like, yeah, girl. Yeah. I don't know, right?
That's what I was saying. Cause like, he was trying to feel the room.
Yeah. From the faces. I get what you're saying as far as like the conversation, but the faces were saying something slightly different. So it was almost like mixed messages in a sense, honestly.
Mixed messages. Can we just put a pin in that and come back to that later?
Yeah.
Lee, did you think he was trying to win her back like from the jump, or do you think it was more like how Nay was saying, like, he's just trying to learn from his mistakes?
Yeah, I don't think he was trying. Yeah, I agree with Nate. I don't think he was trying to win her back. It was almost damn near felt like some type of closure, or at least I want to know how this situation got to where it was before with us. Because after they, broke up and stuff, then they had that falling out in front of dinner where he called her a hoe and all that shit. So it's just like they never really had a chance to like really. Well, wait a minute. I'll take that back. Yes, they did when it was in that kitchen at her old place.
Yeah, that was a good scene. That when
I forgot about that.
That was my favorite episode.
But I don't think he was trying to win her. But I mean, yeah, I agree with Nate. I don't think he was trying to win her back. I just think he was just kind of filling out the just the conversation and seeing how it goes. Because he seemed like he was a little nervous. He was, you could tell he was tense and awkward before they was going to meet up. So yeah, I think it was just, you know, he was just filling out the room. I don't think he's trying.
Well, outside of the win her back thing, more so what I was saying is just trying to like fill out the relationship, fill out like where they are and stuff. You don't feel like that either.
I mean, yeah, based off that conversation they were having, yeah.
Because I was saying, he did the breath mint thing, the way he was looking at her. I don't know. It's just some of those mannerisms kind of lended towards, I wonder if this could work again.
Mm-hmm. Mike, do you think it was on Lawrence to be the one in the, like, to be the seeker for this because of how things ended between them? Like, he has to be the one initiated. Do you think Issa would have liked to have been in a position to reach out and do something like this, but she was just like, I don't know where he stands with me.
I think she should have probably been the one to reach out, but I don't think it was on Lawrence to do that. I'm glad he did, though, because I do want to say real quickly that I do agree 100% with Rod. I definitely think he walked in there and his intention was to see if there was some sort of spark still there. Otherwise, why are you popping mints? Why are you doing all this stuff? And you could tell, like, I hate to just echo what Rod just said, but you could tell by the way they made him look at her. Like, they were trying to convey that message, like, yo, I'm still kind of into this girl. And I kind of want to see if she's still into me. And if we're into each other, then maybe we can make this happen again. But no, I don't think it was on Lawrence to reach out. But I think it was cool that they made him the bigger man and just be like, hey, you know, I know it ended badly, but, and I know a lot of it was on me, but, you know, what could I have done to do better? So I did like that. But are we already at the part where they're at the other bar? Did we already get there?
Not yet. Yeah. I got one more question. And this is, I think, going with Tyler and Ken, maybe, as far as the mixed messaging for this episode. It started early for me. Lawrence tells Issa that he couldn't make it to the block party. We find out why he couldn't go to the block party is because he was in San Fran interviewing for different job positions. Because obviously we know his job isn't looking too good right now. So he came back, and it seems like this is one of the first interactions he's had with Issa since he came back. And he pretty much set up the episode saying, like, he doesn't want to be afraid to move on from shit. I think that's one of, like, what he says. As far as, like, when she was asking, are you thinking about leaving? And to me, it was just, I thought it was more about him setting it up for, like, a part two kind of closure, what B was leading to. But the way this episode went, it just sounded like, why would you even say that if you're going to do the same shit that you used to be doing?
I think that's kind of why I felt like his intention wasn't to see what was up. I feel like it was just... The way it went, I feel like he intended to just have a conversation, but the chemistry between the two of them is so strong and just like, oh, he felt the spark, not so much going for looking for the spark. So the fact that he was saying, you know, I'm just trying to not be afraid to move on from shit, and some of the other little things that he dropped here and there is like, I don't think that was his intention. And then his text messages were, oh, girl, I don't think his intention was to go in looking for something with Issa.
But can I point out something real quick, though? Like, around the same time when they were having that conversation, like, she said, oh, I heard about you and Gondola. I'm really sorry to hear that. And he was like, oh, we don't have to talk about that or something like that. If at that point, if they were still talking and he was possibly about to meet up with her later that night, why did he act like they were still broken up? That doesn't seem like dishonest to y'all, or like sending mixed messages, or like cause you to question why. If y'all don't think he was trying to get back with Issa or trying to, like, take the night a certain way, then why admit that?
So I don't think that it was dishonest, because I sincerely don't think anything is going on between the two of them. I think they broke up and they're not at a place yet where they're back officially together. They're just maybe trying to see what's up, or they may be getting back cool. Who knows? That's why I say I don't like Gondola, because I feel like it was more so on her. I almost felt like she was pressing the situation. She wants to see him tonight. He said he busy. Now he called. Bitch, leave him alone. He said he's busy. Like, I didn't feel like it was on him. I felt like Lawrence handled that appropriately. And shout out to Issa for being forward about what she thought about, like, when she saw the text message. Like, she was very forthcoming with, so what's up with y'all? And I feel like he was honest. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. We talking. It is, you know, I don't know.
But so he didn't say he was busy. He said he would let her know. He said, I might be able to tonight. I'll let you know.
He said, I'll hit you when I'm done.
Right, which is kind of like open-ended. Like, he basically, I'll let you know.
Right.
And which is why he then called her from the porch while Issa was in the bathroom. And I know I'm skipping ahead, but like, and then said, oh, I'm wrapping up now. Like,
but to be fair, if you text me talking about, hey, you know, can we meet up tonight? And I say, well, I'm out right now. I'll let you know when I'm done. Don't fucking call me. I will let you know.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. Like, I feel like she was being like, and like I said, I know we're jumping ahead a little bit. Like, I don't think, calling when somebody says, I'll let you know, is kind of like you're doing too much. Like, if I tell somebody that I'll let them know and they call me, I will also be very annoyed by that. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to like kind of point out the inconsistencies or the places where I felt like Lawrence was on some fuck shit throughout the episode. So we'll come back around. I just wanted to plant that because we were talking about like that part of the episode when they were talking about the trip to San Francisco, because that was around the first time that he wasn't really like being forthcoming with information about what was going on.
Yeah, I felt like he was pretty open about what was going on. I mean, he didn't necessarily have to say who that was on the phone or who he was talking to or who he was texting, but it seemed like he had no problem giving that information. And, you know, I don't know. It didn't seem like he was trying to hide anything or try to set two things up at once. It was just kind of, both of them was kind of open feel. She's super hurt.
Well, yeah, so, all right, let's move on. Like y'all said, Cabbage Patch texted Lawrence, and then that's when Issa talked about the whole break. Issa asked him that she knew about the breakup as well, and he was kind of walking around eggshells on that. But then we also get hit with another thing as far as, like, he brings up Molly as far as, like, seeing her at the airport, and Issa was like, yeah, I really don't fuck with her no more. And he took it as a joke, but she was dead ass. I like how they threw that in there, but she didn't really elaborate on that situation either. So I liked how both of them were kind of holding up their cards a little bit as far as I ain't ready to touch this yet, just yet. And then that's when we find out that Lizzo drives out a lot more people than I expected, and the bar got too crowded. So they ended up dipping and leaving. And basically this is where I figured out that, they was going to bump uglies by the end of this episode. Just them outside waiting on the next spot and the conversations that were going on. It just felt like, all right, this is going to end exactly how most fans probably want this. What did y'all think about that Lyft ride, though?
Mike has his hand raised.
What's up?
You have to call on me, Nick. That's the way this works.
What's up, Mike?
I just want to say real quick that you skipped over the absolute funniest moment
in
the episode when that bartender said, your drink is free, cause of your ass. I fucking belly laughed for a long ass time.
Like, nobody remember that.
Exactly what it was that was funny, but the way he said it, he's like, oh yeah, your drink is free because you busted your ass.
You know what's authority? He said it was so
much. Yeah.
Oh my god, I was fucking hollering.
She was like, everybody forgot about that. Apparently that was an improv line that wasn't actually in the script, because Natasha Rockwell tweeted about how that made her laugh out loud during the first take. So that was
wow.
What wasn't the
everybody forgot about that.
Oh, that's funny.
That scene I told Roger, I was like, this scene with Issa makes me so mad at Lovebirds, because it's like, she's so good in this space. I want her to be this good in everything else she does. But it's just, I think it's just written very much for her personality. That the way they, even with Lawrence's like sense of humor, the way they bounced off of each other in this episode was really dope. Like when she fell and he meant now, he's like, you need a minute? And she's like, yeah, he's like, all right. they just bounce off of each other so well, and I think it really set up the chemistry for the rest of the episode really well.
I actually thought about Lovebirds too, like during that like whole thing, and how much, you know, yeah, better their interaction was, and how, because I was thinking about, we were talking about whether or not Issa is funny, or, you know, basically, and like, especially finding out that she improv that line, it's like, okay, she can be funny, or she can do like in this certain space, or when she has the ability to do that within her character and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Ken,
that review is out, by the way, if you guys want to go watch it and listen to it.
What's out?
Oh, the Lovebirds review is out for everybody listening if you want to go listen to the review.
Great book.
Ken, what did you think about the Lyft ride? The conversations that was had in that car?
It was cool. Like, you could kind of tell. I thought the driver was actually funny. Typical old lady, flashing of the light, revealing in some aspects with Lawrence talking about, you know, he actually bought a ring. You know, Issa saying that they're from Alaska and the climate change and all of that. So, yeah, I thought it was cool. I think it definitely, you know, gave a talking point for the discussion that they had later on at that restaurant that they were at. So, but it was, I enjoyed that scene.
Other than the talking point of the ring, I didn't really get, it just seemed like one of those scenes they tend to throw in that isn't really necessary. And I was just waiting for that driver to be like Felicia Rashad or Cheryl Lee Ralph or something.
Right, I did. Think so.
What they were doing with the other episodes, I just knew she was going to be somebody from a 90s sitcom. But I think I did like, again, like Issa in that scene when she was like, oh my God, no. Like, that just, that was so me. Like, I was like, please, shut up. Like, it just, yeah. But other than that, I didn't really see the point of it. She seemed a little extra to me.
I didn't have a problem with it. I think it supported the episode.
It worked better than a lot of other scenes that they've tried this season. That's real.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was really funny, and that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about like Natasha Rockwell writing this episode, because I feel like the moments that were supposed to be funny were actually funny and didn't feel as forced as some of the other stuff, like the old dude that she drove to his son's house and all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't seem like the humor was as forced.
Right.
What you think about that scene, Mike?
I loved that scene. I thought it was hilarious. I thought the whole scene was hilarious. When the driver was extra, but I've actually been in a couple Ubers. It seems like whenever it's an old black woman, it's the same shit. It's just like that. They keep asking you fucking questions. And even if you don't want to talk, they're like, they make you talk, which I can't stand. I don't like talking to strangers. I'd rather you just drive. But when she was, when the driver was like, well, where are you from? And she's like, Alaska, like basically try to get her to like shut the fuck up and leave me alone, and it didn't work. She's like, oh, I bet it's really cold up there. For some reason, that shit just cracked me up. I thought that was really done well, and I think the scene did have a bit of a purpose, because it kind of still was playing off of that whole thing of how well Lawrence and Issa get along and how they know each other so well. So I thought it was really well done.
Even when he was fucking with her before he called the Lyft, because he called her first, or he called her.
That was funny.
Yeah, that shit was funny.
Whoever wrote that last episode should be embarrassed, because it's like, God damn, after you did that whack-ass, bullshit-ass episode, the writing on this one is so... I'm sorry, what'd you say, Nay?
Molly Andrew episode?
Yes, mm-hmm. That garbage. Like, this one is written so much better. Yes. Like, this person that wrote this episode may have written the last one. It could have been a lot better.
You know who wrote it, right?
Kelly.
Tyler. Wait, what?
It's Kelly.
Oh, the writer's name is Kelly? I mean,
it's... No, the one who, the actress who plays Kelly, yeah.
That's what I meant to say. That's what I meant to say. Wow.
Yeah, she's a writer. She's wrote some other episodes before, too.
Oh. Why you didn't say all that, Tyler, when you was going through about who this woman is? You never said... By the way, guys, it's Kelly. Did you think we just knew that?
She said it last time.
Knew it.
Shut up, Ken.
But I will say, Mike, this episode really just kind of reiterated how little chemistry Molly and Andrew had. As much as I like Andrew last episode, it's like, damn, they really don't have no chemistry.
Yeah. This episode was just pure chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when they pull up to the new spot where they find out, well, I think it was a spot that they were supposed to go together, like a Mexican joint, I think, back when they were dating. So it was kind of interesting that Lawrence chose that spot to go to, kind of just try to, I guess, set the tone and set the mood even more. We find out that Issa was the one, she already been there and ate there and stuff. But what I wanted to get to, B, and I wanted to ask you this, when they got to like the front, they were waiting on their table. And I think Lawrence was saying like, look, let's just like quit tiptoeing around shit. We know each other too well. Did you think like, oh shit, we really gonna get into like a really good ass conversation? Like right after he said that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, what they was gonna talk about? Sports and lollygag or something? I mean, I'm pretty sure it was about to be on some serious shit. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure he was gonna mention, I didn't know he was gonna mention like the past, but it was just more so like, yeah, what's been going on with you lately, whatever. But I mean, I knew it was gonna be something of that line of a serious conversation. I didn't think it was gonna be them joking and laughing and giggy kiki kikaka, nothing like that.
I actually thought it was really like dope how they brought that up, because like Lawrence kept kind of like stalling and Issa was like, no, you wanted to tell me something? Like, mm-hmm. And then when they were ordering and Lawrence was like, oh, that was really impressive how you ordered. And she was like, why don't you impress me with what you want to tell me? Like, I just thought the way that was written was funny, and how like that whole dynamic of her keep being like, so what's up? Mm-hmm. So what's up? And yeah.
Sound like you like this episode, Ty.
I know, right? I said at the beginning, the first thing I said was that I really fucked heavy with the beginning of the episode, and then like it's so, and I honestly, and we can again come back around to this later, but the more that I think about it, I really feel like that was done intentionally. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the way that it was written and the way that it was directed was like, it was intentional to like put some of those things into question, because like the first part of the episode, like, why is it that the whole like gondola thing was introduced at the moment that it was, you know, like, because that's to me what felt like dishonest about it, that like Issa went to the bathroom and now he's on the phone texting another chick, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was, I feel like that was done to kind of put some of those things in question. So I, like I said, I always like scroll through Twitter after the end of episodes and like see what other people were saying. And I know that there were other people saying the same thing that I was saying. I'm like, yo, dude, what the fuck? So I say all that to say that like, yeah, the first part of the episode was fantastic. And I was like all about it. And I was even starting to be like, oh, maybe I do want to see Lawrence and Issa back together. And as soon as that happened, I was like, yep, this is why I don't fuck with Lawrence. I forgot that fast.
So real quick, like in the first season, you were one of the people that didn't really like Lawrence?
It's hard for me to remember, because that was like a good couple of years ago. I remember like not liking certain aspects of like the ways that he would absolve himself or responsibility for what was happening in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And then I remember not liking him like at the end of the season when they broke up, and then he was fucking old girl from the bank. And again, I feel like all of that was kind of done intentionally. Like, I remember that being the point when I started like actively not liking him for, you know, because remember like all that shit that happened with her when he like left, like went to her family barbecue and then dipped and didn't show back up and have her family being like, yo, where'd your boyfriend go? You know, so like around that time was when like when I remember actively not liking Lawrence. And I think that when they were together, it was just more so like that I felt like he wasn't taking any responsibility for his part in like what was happening.
I completely concur. I never liked Lawrence, but once he took responsibility at that table, and I'm sorry if I'm skipping ahead to that conversation, but I absolutely love their table talk. And once he took responsibility, I was like, okay, I like them now.
That was exactly how I felt. And then like 3 minutes later, he was on the phone texting Gondola.
That was Gorgonzola.
I call her something different every time, huh? What do you say?
I feel like that's Gorgonzola, not Lawrence.
Mike, as Nate was saying, the conversation at the table was really what like broke the ice and let everything open up. Were you surprised when Lawrence asked Issa like what would have happened, or like wondering like if they didn't break up, what could have been?
No, he asked all of the questions and said all of the things that I wanted him to say at that table. So no, I thought it was perfect. You could tell that some of the things hurt, but he still was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna keep rolling with it. You know, he accepted fault for what he needed to accept fault for. I thought it was interesting that they had him ask like, why Daniel? Like, why did you pick him? And it even showed just how clueless that we can be sometimes in relationships, where he was just like, I thought we were working on things. I thought we were doing all right. It was that bad. I think he genuinely had no idea. And I don't think that that's a testament to him being a dumbass. I think that's just a testament to how men's minds do not work the same way women's minds do. Y'all think you're telling us some shit real plain as day, and our dumbass is just like, when did you say that? I don't even remember that. That never happened. Did it happen? Oh, shit. Well, sorry. But yeah, I thought that whole conversation was great.
Ken, do you think that when he said, like, he gives up on things too easily, did you think that was justified, like, as far as, like, how he dealt with Issa throughout their relationship?
When he asked her the question, or did he say that elsewhere?
When he basically asked about himself, like, does he give up on things too easily?
I'm just thinking in terms of the relationship. I think he didn't realize that he still cared for her until Condola. And when she pointed that out, it caused him to really think about their relationship. And I think the fact that there wasn't really any closure, and what fault did he play in it? And for me, that whole scene of him just asking all of those questions and being immensely vulnerable and accepting responsibility for his role in pushing her to Daniel, I thought was very, very mature of him. And it was the second time that I watched it that I heard it. The first time it felt like they were just having a conversation about why Daniel, what happened, here's how I was feeling based off her feedback, here's how she was feeling. She's like, damn, like, you didn't want to come home. It was that bad. Him admitting that he was so down in the dumps that he almost went home. It's real fucked up when you talking about going home. And that let me know that he was in a very, very tough emotional mind state. And the second time I watched it, that's when I was like, no, he's finally saying to himself, or admitting to himself, that this is all my fault. And because I played this role in doing this, I feel like I gave up too easily on this situation. And if I would have stayed in it and admitted that at the time, or seen it at the time, I could have made it work. But it takes time for stuff like that to happen.
Damn, that was a word. But you got back. B, I wanted to ask you, when he was asking about Daniel and how that situation happened, is that something that you would, in a relationship, want to know? Or would you just want to be like, I accept my role as far as pushing you away. I don't need to know about the other nigga, though.
Say that one more time?
About, like, Daniel? Yeah, like, I felt like he was really, like, focused in on the person, Daniel. That's why he kind of asked that question. Was it about Daniel, or is it just, like, it could have been anybody else? Is that a question that you would ask someone who cheated on you?
That's a good question. I don't think I would have. Damn, that's a good ass question. I never thought about that. How the hell you be watching these episodes like this? I don't even be thinking this. I be watching these fucking episodes. Like, what the fuck?
I have to pause it a lot. That's why I like to watch it, like,
the next day. I watch this shit one time and I just keep it moving. But yeah, I never. Wow, I'm like Mike now. Shit, you got me fucking speechless. I don't know how to answer that shit.
So with Daniel, I think he was fishing to see if this was an itch she wanted to scratch. You know, why him? What was the reason you went to him? And when she answered the way she did and basically said it could have been anybody, that was like letting him know that, no, it wasn't that she had this desire for this guy and she wanted to sleep with him just because. It was like, no, nigga, it was because of you. And it could have been anybody that would have given me that same amount of attention at that time. You know, you could replace it with Daniel or Craig or anybody. You know, it wasn't necessarily the person. It was the situation I was in in our relationship with you.
It's kind of the equivalent to when women be like, well, do you love a bitch? Like, what is it? Like, is this like a relationship? Like, are you like serious about this particular person? Are you getting something from this person that I can't give you? Or is this just some shit? Like, what is it?
But just going back to Nick's questions, Ken, would you have asked that? Or have you done that?
Nah, I wouldn't ask that. I wouldn't care. I'd be too mad.
Why that bitch?
I would.
I don't want to know.
I mean, if we having a real talk, real discussion, yeah. I mean, I would. You know, like, yo, okay, so. I mean, you basically hitting the head, you know, touch on it head on, like going at it head on, like, yo, so, yeah, why did that happen? Why him or whatever? So I would definitely open it up because, I mean, that's how you get to a place, right? You know what I'm saying? You got to address things. Why you don't want to tiptoe around that? That was the thing, right? That was the thing that ended it all. So, you know, you want to, like, why did it happen? Why are you looking like that, Tyler?
No, I was laughing at Zoe's tail being in Mike's face and him swiping it away. So that's what I got distracted about. But, like, I do want to say that I just feel like it, even though the question was, may have been a little like, oh, I feel like it really brought something out, like the way that she responded to it. They're really kind of like one of y'all was saying earlier, my bad, I don't remember who, but how they're like really kind of showed exactly even more like some of what the issues are when she was like, you know, I just wanted to feel wanted, or, you know, the attention that he was giving, etc. So I'm glad that he asked the question that ultimately led them there to make it even clearer what happened.
Mike, you asking,
Jay said you can't hear what you don't reveal.
Mike, are you asking that question?
I have asked that question. It's just, yeah, I mean, I want to fucking know. If I'm cheated on, I want to know if it's something that you were actually desiring or if you just felt like just fucking a random person. Who knows? But, I mean, I definitely agree with Rob that that's like a part of closure. Like, you want to know, you know, I don't need to know details like how many positions did y'all go. Like, I don't need to know all that. But I want to know, like, what made this happen? What did I do to contribute? Did I do anything to contribute? Or was there just something that you just felt like doing? So, I mean, yeah, again, like I said before, all of the questions that he asked, that was shit that I wanted him to ask. And I was glad when he said, yo, what made you go to him?
Right.
Because when I was cheated on, the one girl that I actually did have a conversation with afterwards, yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm better looking than him. Like, what the hell? How does this work? You know what I mean? And, you know, that's when you find out that it's not even about that type of shit. It's really a lot of times it's emotional or like with Issa. Like, you're just not, it's not even a physical thing. You're not giving her what she wants out of a relationship. So she's getting the certain parts with you, but then she had to go get this other part with this person. And then when she puts those two things together, I guess she thought in her mind that that was going to make her one whole happy person, but then it just kind of fucked her whole world up. But yeah, definitely. I would definitely ask that question.
And what'd she say? It created a moment of weakness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I feel like she getting away with all this. I'm sorry. I feel like she just getting away with just cheating. And it's now Ken talking about Lawrence is taking full blame and responsibility for it.
He didn't take full blame.
And yeah, I was going to say that. No,
wait, sorry, I forgot. I'm not supposed to disagree with you, Nick, because apparently Reddit thinks I hate you.
Yeah. Mike, don't play games. You know we beefing on in the streets.
I'll shut up when you talk, sir.
That is so crazy. We went through the same thing. People thought me and Mike hated each other. It was the weird. But yeah, I remember Ken did say that. Like, I don't think he took all the blame either.
No, I think the fact that he initiated it. He started by saying he understands that where he was part of the problem. So he did take responsibility for his part in it, which then allowed Issa the ability and the comfort to say, yeah, well, I fucked up too, so my bad.
Yeah. it was a really civil conversation.
That's awesome.
Like, even the part when he was like, you kind of wanted to blow it up or whatever. Even that was
civil. Right. So that part was him trying not to accept the blame. Like, he tried to push it back on her. And he was like, well, you had to want to blow it up, right? And she was like, nah. He was like, God damn.
I don't agree. I think it was more so because the thing that I loved about the conversation was that he never negated her feelings. He never, like, argued how she felt. And I think that was his way of, like, defend, like, almost like, but wait a minute, I don't understand. If you feel this way, why did you act? Why did you do this? Because we were in a certain place. We were trying to get better. So there had to be a part of you that kind of didn't want to be in it if you were going to act this way. So I don't necessarily feel like it was him pushing the blame. It was just him trying to understand, why did she do that at that point in their relationship?
Spot on. Yep, I agree too.
I really love the way he never was like, well, you couldn't feel like that, because that's where arguments tend to go wrong. Like, you can have the best of intentions, but somebody says something to make somebody else get defensive. Trace. And so I love the fact that he was never defensive in it, but he was able to, like, ask questions and combat without being combative.
That's why I loved her answer when she was like, no, I was devastated. You know that. And, you know, and that's why, I mean, you make a great point, but, you know, the way I looked at it was like, it was like he felt like you had to play an additional role in this. And what was that role? And he was trying to figure that out by trying to push it back on her. And she was like, no, I was devastated. And you know that. And that's why he was like, you know, he accepted that and, you know, and rolled with it. He didn't, you know, combat that, like you were saying a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Especially, like, when she brought up that how surprised she was that he actually bought a ring, which I guess shows, like, how on two different pages they were. Because I think we don't know. He could have proposed within that year, but she, in her mind, didn't think it was going anywhere.
Hmm. That was one point where I kind of was with the title, like, kind of fuck shit. And I think that's because I had that conversation so many goddamn times. Like, I had a ring. I was like, what the fuck you telling me this for now? Like, it's not happening. So, like, I just, it's like, why? Why?
Oh, you're talking about in a hood situation, right? I'm talking about in some, like, nah, I had intentions of you making you my life partner, but I just didn't get to it in the time that I needed to.
And to be fair, she asked the question.
No, he
brought it up.
Actually, brought it up
in the Uber or the Lyft.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but she asked him though. She was like, "You should lock it up."
And all he had to do was say, "Yeah, I tried," but he had to say, "I got a ring and everything."
Kind of like what Nick's saying. It wasn't on like some shit like that. It was like it was brought up.
That was some slight fuck shit.
Oh no!
No, it was not.
From Nick? I mean, not from Nick. From Lawrence?
Yes. Yes.
No.
And even his response afterwards, he's like, "Oh, you gotta feel like you ain't shit. You want shit?"
It was joking. Like, yes.
Oh, y'all hating now? Come on, man. No.
She did fuck up. He was right. Goddamn.
Okay.
I don't think he was on any fuck shit. I think he was really trying.
Fuck boy shit is in your DNA, and you just can't help but spew out stupid shit every now and again. It's like, that's what it was. It was just like a joke that was rooted in fuck boy behavior.
But was it that stupid? I mean, he was trying to tell her, like, just how much he cared about her.
He didn't have to say that to prove that.
It was a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke. It wasn't that deep.
It was not.
Y'all trying to find shit.
Coming from a triggering place, so I could be honest to say that, but it was some fuck shit.
Who hurt you? Who hurt you?
Mike, Nate basically saying it was an ill-timed joke. It was truthful. It was truthful as hell, and it was an ill-timed joke. But yeah, so they start breaking down basically the relationship, and then obviously Issa asked to go to the restroom, and this is where we get to Tyler's favorite part, where Coco Chanel was texting him and shit like that. is it fair or foul to be texting both exes at once? Or it's like to be being with one ex and text another ex?
He wasn't like texting her a fucker, so I don't see the problem.
We don't know what he was going to do. How do you know that?
Because it didn't feel that way. Like, even when he called her, it didn't sound like, hey, girl, I'm wrapping up here. I'm still trying to come through. It sounded like he really just wanted to have a conversation. I think y'all be reading a little too much into what Lawrence be saying and doing.
All I'm going to say is
certain some shit. I don't think Lawrence was trying to go fuck Condoleezza after he left with Issa.
No. But he also wasn't trying to fuck Issa, according to y'all.
Thank you.
But he liked Issa.
But he likes Gondola.
Not like that. That Gondola shit is over.
He wasn't trying to hit Issa either.
Exactly. He felt it when she said, hey, what if I wanted to stay? He was going to let her go home.
Yep.
Any nigga would say, hell yeah, I want you to stay.
That's not true.
That's pussy at the door. What you mean? She asked you to stay.
That's not true, Nick.
Everybody ain't niggerish like you. Yeah,
That's not true, Nick.
Wait, everybody's talking. Go ahead.
I get what Tyler is saying. I just don't think that there was, with where he was in both of those situations, what he was doing wasn't necessarily wrong. Like, it seemed like Cannoli wanted to meet in the middle of the week, and now she's like, well, can you meet tonight?
Right.
And it was an inconvenience. It was circumstantial. And I think that he handled it as best as he could, but I feel like because Lawrence really isn't as much of a fuck, I have to admit, he really isn't as much of a fuckboy as I pin him. He finds himself in these situations and he don't know how to maneuver it. So I think that because he didn't know what was going to go down with Issa, so as far as him and Cannoli go, I'll see what's going on. And now that I'm here with Issa, this is what I want to do. I'm enjoying myself. And that's why I sincerely don't think he went into this trying to spark nothing up. I don't think he intended for the night to go the way that it went. But he just did the same way she said, I don't want the night to end. He didn't either. There's just unspoken. There's just natural chemistry between the two of them that they can't deny.
At this point, how long has it been since they in Showtime? How long has it been since him and Condoleezza broke up? Like 2 weeks?
Not long.
A couple days?
Month.
But, I mean, it's been 2 weeks, like, within the, you know, with us watching it, basically, like, 2 or 3 weeks, what I'm saying, in Showtime, because it was right before the block party, and, like, since then, it's been, what, like, a week since the block party? So how long has it been?
Block party, because she went ghost. Mm-hmm. So I would say maybe a couple weeks before the block party.
Okay.
And the block party may have happened a couple, like maybe 3 weeks to a month. So I would say at least a month between the time him and Condoleezza broke up.
That's right, because you remember he was going to say it before the block party was going on, before mm-hmm. he went out of town, he was going to tell her. Well, we assumed that he was going to tell her that they had broke up.
At Tiffany's house.
And that was like a week or so before the block party, right? Yeah.
Wait, had they broken up before then? I thought they broke up after that.
Before?
Okay. But yeah, so I mean, like, specifically when they were all at Tiffany's house, I couldn't remember if that breakup happened before or after then. But okay, we're saying it's been like maybe a month. We want to guess it's been about a month, right? And mm-hmm. so like they already, like, they had plans scheduled for, I think it said like the following Wednesday in the
chat. It was a Tuesday.
Right. Okay. So that means that it's not like Condoleezza just so happened to text him at this moment. It means that they had like already been in conversation enough to make plans, and then like she was saying, okay, well, I know we're supposed to meet this day, but what are you doing tonight, etc. So it's like, how long did they stop talking? This is all like, you know, conjecture, but the point is that they've already been interacting enough for them to have had like a date or some kind of plan scheduled next week, and now he's out with Issa like texting her while Issa's in the bathroom. And it's like, I don't know. That's just like fuck shit to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're basically like, you're going back and forth, or you like, you're trying to figure out what you want to do with like both of these people, like at the same time. I just don't think shit like that is cool.
I mean, I see that.
Go ahead, Nick.
I was gonna say, I see it as like the 90s sitcom love triangle. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go back and forth. It's like the Archie comics. He got Betty and he got the other girl, Veronica. Like, it's just like, I don't know which one I want to be with. I'm trying to choose.
And that's acceptable. You think that's like acceptable behavior?
No, I think that's good TV.
That's not what happened though. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think the only way I would agree with your take on it, Tyler, is if he made it very clear that he was meeting up with Condola to, like, on some, like, hookup shit. But it never really gave that impression. So the entire time, I was thinking that he was only meeting up with her to discuss what had happened. Because we still don't know why they broke up. Like, they had that little raggedy fight in the kitchen, but that's it? There had to be something else. So maybe they were just meeting up to get that closure. I don't think they're meeting up for, like, a date. Like, let's go bowling and let's go to a movie and then whatever. It sounded like they were just meeting up to talk. And he was honest about it the entire time. He wasn't hiding anything from Issa. He wasn't like...
No, he didn't tell her what was going on until she saw the name on the screen. Like, earlier than that, like, Issa was like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that y'all broke up. And Lawrence was like, oh, I don't really want to talk about it.
You know, he said, we don't have to talk about it. He was leaving it up to her. So
the point is that he didn't correct the fact that Issa thought that they had broken up.
They are broken up. They did break up.
How do we know that?
Because we don't know that they got back together. He never gave.
I thought Condola confirmed that at the block party.
I'm saying, like, we know that they broke up, but we don't know what's been happening since they broke up. And that's why I'm saying, to me, when I was watching it, it felt like he was like, that wasn't as done as some shit should be done before you're hanging out with your ex and fucking your ex.
Nah, I mean, he specifically, like, first of all, it wasn't any of Issa's business. Like, he didn't have to tell her shit.
Yes, he did.
When he was
bare treacherous waters. Be careful, Michael.
Fuck that. When he was texting and she was like, who you talking to? He could have been like, Derek.
Nobody.
He didn't have to tell her anything, but he said, I'm talking to Condola. And then, and another thing is, if I'm with you walking around and my phone go off, why the fuck are you looking at my phone? That is none of your business. So she could have been like, oh, well, you need to take that? He should have been like, how the fuck, what are you doing? So I don't see how any of this is really on Lawrence. He flat out said, yeah, we were supposed to talk or whatever, or we're supposed to do whatever. He didn't have to tell her anything, but he was honest. Fix your face, Nate. Let that man have a little bit of something.
The writers played with the emotions of the viewers. Because for three or four seasons, there's been this idea of who Lawrence is. So as soon as he pulled out that phone and we saw that he was texting with Condola, like, I was like, God damn it, Lawrence. Why are you doing this shit? Because you're going to confirm what people are already saying that you are, that you're a fuckboy.
The show is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. What was your question?
I was just going to say, the show has never given the impression that Lawrence is running around here lying to women and fucking random women. The writers never given that impression.
Right. They haven't, but people have taken that away from it in the discussions.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Gotcha.
Yeah. They have taken it away, but they never pegged them that way.
It was a good setup. They set it up nice, the way they did it, by doing the little phone, the text, and then the phone call afterwards. Him being honest, I liked. And then even with him calling afterwards.
But I feel like there's this kind of like, not false equivalency, but there's they've never pegged him as somebody that was fucking and lying to people. They pegged it, like, that's not the only definition of like some fuck shit or like a fuck nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like he's not going around necessarily like lying to people and fucking a bunch of people, but he's like giving people mixed messages, i.e. like, he didn't want to go to Old Girl. Like, this was a couple seasons ago. But, like, the girl that he was dating, he didn't want to go to the family barbecue. But instead of using his words and saying, hey, I don't really feel comfortable doing that or whatever, he agreed to doing it and then left her there by herself and made her look stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to be fucking a bunch of people to be on some bullshit.
Yeah, but I'm saying, how can you take that situation and then apply it to, well, if he's talking to this girl, he must be trying to fuck her.
I'm not applying. I'm just saying we were talking about how Lawrence has been portrayed. And then like you were like, well, they didn't portray him like he's been fucking a whole bunch of people. It's like, no, they never did that. They portrayed him as doing shit like this. And like, this is some fuck shit.
Hey, what you got to say?
He was fucking a whole bunch of people. This nigga had chlamydia and didn't know who he got it from.
He was single.
He wasn't lying to a bunch of girls. He was completely single. What's wrong with
you? Issa did the same thing too.
Exactly.
She ain't catch nothing. She protected her.
But she did the same. She had a whole patient.
Everybody makes mistakes.
She branded the shit.
Yep, she sure did.
One of the things that I think is really dope about this show, and like, they don't try to make anybody perfect. They show that everybody has flaws. I'm not saying that Lawrence is the worst nigga that ever lived. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying that, like, throughout the show, like, the same as, you know, a bunch of people have done some shit that was fucked up here and there. Issa did some shit that was fucked up here and there. Like, they've shown Lawrence doing some shit that was fucked up, and I'm saying that, to me, what happened during this episode, the way that he sat up there, you know, and said all this stuff about, oh, I got you a ring, oh, I did this, oh, I did that, oh, let's talk about what happened between us, and Issa was talking about how she was devastated and all that, and then to text another woman as soon as she gets up from the table, I feel like that's some fuck shit.
He texted him first.
I was going to say that, to me, first and foremost, Nate, Lawrence is a stand-up dude, because when he got chlamydia, he called all the girls and let them know exactly what was going on. That's a good guy. Most niggas would have been like, Nick, peace out. Second of all, I think, Tyler, I think what you're mostly talking about is just common courtesy. Like, you could at least clarify the situation for me and give me a heads up. And I think Lawrence is just a, I don't have to do anything type nigga. Like, if I'm not dating you, I don't have to tell you exactly what I've got going on. I don't have to tell you who I'm texting, all that shit. But if I do tell you that, then you should be happy with the information you got, because I don't have to do none of that shit.
But I'm saying, he's giving her mixed messages. He's giving her and Condola mixed messages. And like, and I feel like, because we're all like trying to, and I want to make sure I'm not like cutting anybody off, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, yeah, you don't have to do anything. I guess from my vantage point, I come from a place of like, yeah, you don't have to be considerate of somebody else's feelings, but you should. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like if you are in a situation where you are sitting across the table from this woman that you had like a 5-year relationship with, and you're talking about like the way it ended and the way it went down and the things that you could have done differently and the things that she could have done differently, if you are in the middle of like having plans with another woman who you were just fucking it a month ago, you know what I'm saying? Like, that to me is just, it just is dishonest to me, or like disingenuous.
I didn't like it. I'm with you, Tyler. I was hoping he didn't reply at all, or he would say, no, let's stick to Tuesday. Especially after having that real deep conversation with his ex about everything. And then he turned around, whip out the phone and then send this message. I'm like, damn, Lawrence, why are you doing all of that? Like, what is your intentions with Issa? Are you just getting closure? And then with Condola, are you just trying to get closure with both of them before you go to San Francisco? What are you doing here? So
right, what are your intentions in like both of these situations that you're setting up?
The only thing that I did, I get what y'all are saying, and I understand that thought process, especially as someone who has been Team Issa. The only thing I have to say, the only thing that negates it for me is that he's not trying to be in a relationship. At least it doesn't seem to me like he's trying to be in a relationship with either one of these women. So what he's doing is technically not wrong.
We'll be back after this quick break.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards. You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app. I participate in McDonald's. You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app. I participate in McDonald's. One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
Yeah, I don't see how him replying to a text when Issa got from the table is any shade of fuck shit. I don't get it. Like, all he said was, yo, I'm out right now, but I'll let you know when I'm done. He didn't know how far the Issa situation was going to go. So I don't feel like he was playing with anyone's feelings. If anything, I think Lawrence probably doesn't really want to move, and he's trying to figure out if there's some reason for him to stay where he's at. So he's out with Issa exploring that. Condola hit him up asking if he was free, and he said, no, but I'll let you know when I'm done. I don't think he was like, I don't really see how him talking to Condola is disrespectful to Issa, because right then they're really just friends. Because this was the beginning of the conversation.
If anything, the only person who I think could feel the way would probably be Condoleezza, because she identified that she's insecure about his relationship with Issa. And that's who he was out with. That's the piece of it. He was very forthcoming with Issa. The only piece of information that he did not provide was to tell Condola that he was out with Issa, which he technically didn't have to do.
But you know what, Nay? Him and Condola are broken up. So at this point in time, he has no obligation to her feelings.
He don't have to do it.
If Condola is upset that he's out with Issa, that is Condola's problem.
Y'all's stance is that you don't have an obligation to anybody's feelings unless y'all are dating, then we're just, like, that to me is kind of, like, the entire point of what I'm saying. That to me is just, like, fuck, like, you don't have an obligation to, like, not be shitty to somebody if y'all aren't dating.
That's not shitty. That's not, me going out with my ex after me and you have broken up, that's not shitty. And if you think it's shitty, then that's something that you need to work on.
But you broke up over the S, it seems.
We don't know that. Y'all are inserting shit.
We're taking what they've given us. Like, that was...
Okay, but even if they did break up because of Lawrence and Issa, they are still broken up. I can see if Lawrence said, Condola, I'm out right now, but I'll meet you at 8. And then Lawrence just blew her off to go hang out with Issa. I'll give you that. That's shitty. But him saying, I'm out right now, I'll hit you when I'm done, and her pressing the issue, I don't see how that's a problem.
But I feel like the degree to which they're broken up is very gray under the, like, there's, like, some gray area there. And that's kind of the whole point. Because, like, none of that would, like, if they had just broken up and they weren't talking anymore, then of course there's nothing wrong with, like, doing any of this shit. But I'm saying, like, the degree to which they're broken up, I feel like, is a little gray at the moment. Because, like, they had plans for the next week, and, like, she's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And he's like, oh, you know, kind of, like, he said, I'm busy, I'll hit you up later, and then called her and said, well, yeah, I'm wrapping up, so I'll hit you up in a little bit. And then I assume he didn't call her for the rest of the night because he was laid up with Issa. I'm just saying, like, that...
He's in gray areas with both of them, and those are very tricky.
Then that's what I'm saying. I feel like there's too much gray area in both of those situations, and to have both of those gray areas going on concurrently is kind of some fuck shit.
So in you guys' eyes, how could he have handled this better? Get with the situation. You out with your ex, which is fine, right? Can everybody agree that it's fine to meet it back up with your ex and have a conversation?
Maybe I don't disagree with any of the technicalities that you guys are talking about.
So we can all agree that it's fine to be out with your ex talking to him, right?
You wait.
What? just say what you want to say, Rod.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
Get it out.
Right. So it's perfectly fine for him to be there at that bar with Issa having a conversation while he's broken up with I don't even know her name anymore. Can y'all give us
Condola.
So, in that situation, while you're out with that ex, what would have been the perfect scenario for you guys? How would, for him to handle that, Tyler?
I'm sorry. Ask me the question one more time. You said the perfect way that he could have handled.
Yeah, he's at the bar. He gets a text message from his ex while talking to Issa. What is the perfect way for him to handle that?
I feel like he should be doing one or the other, right? Like, he shouldn't be having that conversation with Issa, because that's a really intense conversation to have that obviously brought some feelings back up for both of them, you know what I'm saying? Which is why the night kind of went on the way that it did. So if you are still, like... And again, like I said, because I feel like, and I might go watch it again just to make sure that where I'm coming from is, but, like, I feel like it was very vague, intentionally so, exactly what was going on between Lawrence and Condola. You know what I'm saying? Wow, that's the first time I've actually said her real name and I don't know how long. But I feel like it was intentionally vague because he said, oh, you know, we're just going to, I think he said that they were going to talk. But we don't really know. Like I said, we don't know how much they've been talking. We just know that they're still talking, right? And so, like, if they're still talking, I don't feel like he should be having, like, that, like, what he has going on with Issa, especially without having really told Issa before all of that deep shit happened, you know what I'm saying, that he was still involved with Condola. Or he should have like gotten the shit with Condola figured out and been done with it like before he started having those kind of conversations with Issa.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now just, I see your issue.
Yeah, she's just not with the multiple situations.
Like close one thing before you open another.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And, you gotta, hold on, you gotta get another job before you quit your first one. Goddamn.
My answer to that is I like Tyler's answer. What I would say, or what was in my head, especially while watching it, is that we agreed on Tuesday, and I'll see you Tuesday. I'm out right now. I'm busy, so I can't meet up tonight. I'm not free, so we'll meet up Tuesday. He intentionally left that open
because
he didn't know what was going to go on with the rest of the night.
Right.
So he wanted to leave his options open. But he could have just closed it and be like, yeah, we'll just meet Tuesday.
He should have just left her on red until he was done with Issa.
He didn't really have to. I mean.
And that's not rude.
Okay.
Rude as no, fun. It's not rude. It happens all the time.
Yes, it is. If he did that, then y'all be saying he was rude for that shit.
I wouldn't say that.
Lawrence can't win. God.
It sound like it.
Just like Jim can't win.
It's like who?
Nothing.
Keep it moving.
So we wrap up their conversation at the bar, and then we kind of, like Nate said, we in it for a long night as far as between Issa and Lawrence. And we see them outside trying to discuss where they possibly could go next. And then we see Issa's ex-lover, Calvin, show up. Did you enjoy the Calvin reappearance?
Mm.
That was funny.
Mm. Oh, that's funny though.
Correct, spot
up. Right. If one of Lawrence's women walked up, oh, there he go.
There's a really big difference. Like making plans and like stringing somebody along and not telling them, like telling them, oh, maybe I'll see you tonight, or maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, but okay.
Every nigga got a little fuck boy in the DNA, just a little bit. It's come out every now and again. Boy, I tell you.
Like I said, B, what you think about seeing Calvin again?
Oh yeah, that was another scene that was like one of my favorite, you know, funniest moments in the episode that I enjoyed. He hit a brat, brat. Like that, yeah, that was definitely, because I know y'all was talking about the lift scene. I mean, that scene was cool, but I felt like this scene was definitely funnier than the lift scene. That's because I don't ride the lift that much, so I don't have that many experiences, crazy lift experiences. But yeah, I thought that shit was funny, man. Like, yeah, it was good to see him again, because it's like throughout this season, we always got like a comedic value from him. So I think with him, once I saw him pop up, I'm like, oh shit, this is about to be one of the funniest scenes in the show, is hands down. But yeah, I enjoyed it, and I mean, and I like the fact that they were like, you know, Issa, he was straight up like, oh, yeah, we used to get it in. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
as hell.
Come on, B. That wasn't appropriate at all.
That shit was, I mean, but it's on him, though. It's on that character. Like, it's
fitting. That's how you talk to your exes?
No, but I'm just saying, it's fitting for the character. For him to say that, regardless if it's appropriate or not, it's like, yeah, that's just like him to say some shit like that. Like, yeah, you know, we used to get it in. You know what I'm saying? Because he's obnoxious like that, so. Yeah, I thought that shit was funny. I thought that shit was hilarious. And then Lawrence looking like, oh, shit. Like, the fact that they joked off that shit afterwards, I thought that was cool, man. Like I said, it's moments of this that we saw, that we've seen from Issa and Lawrence that we was like, we probably didn't see during the good times of their relationship. So, yeah. Funny.
Yeah, like, when Lawrence pretended he was leaving and then came back, and like, that was really, really cute.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Happy with that shit. Because when he left, I was like, because you know what I thought? Again, they set it up perfectly with the text.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then him talking about, oh, yeah, I got something to do. I'll holler at you later.
He left so fast, too.
He did, but I thought he was going to get with Condola.
Okay, we all thought that. Yeah.
They got me with that one. I had to tip my hat because, it's, you know, with the previous scene with them texting her.
Yeah.
When he came back with Bella, like, oh, shit, look at Lawrence. Go ahead, boy. Show him you're not as fucked up as they think you are.
I was like, he ain't.
What is it, Mike?
Nah, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
No, we're good. Move on. That scene was funny.
Yeah, I didn't like it at first until the end.
Really?
I don't like him like that. The Calvin like, dude, he, I just never really liked him.
He's like, I'm about to go there and fuck shit up with the food. This girl's name is Mazda.
Here for it, and she's like, "Oh, look at the time."
He wasn't.
You used to get it in, huh?
So yeah, they end up going to the Art Walk event, which was kind of cool to see. This is where I believe this during this like last part of the episode. I feel like this is where you see like a lot of the cinematography as they're walking through the Art Walk event. But they had an interesting conversation I wanted to ask you, Mike. About, I think Issa was talking about the concept of happiness, and I felt like she was kind of tying with maybe talking about her relationship with Molly in a little bit as far as like she didn't understand what her happiness was at first until she realized it was a choice. Do you think that is like the mentality she's having with like everything in her life, including like how she values or how she evaluates Molly's relationship?
I wasn't even thinking about Molly. I thought she was talking about Lawrence. I thought she was like dropping some subtle hints, because that was after she noticed that Condola was calling, right? Or was that before? I think that was after.
That was before.
Because I thought it ended with them looking at the one piece and then them moving to the next piece and they liked it. And then, oh yeah, you're right. Never mind. Either way, I still thought she was just talking about Lawrence. I didn't think she was talking about Molly. I don't know how pressed she is about Molly anymore at this point.
What did y'all think, Rod and Ed?
I didn't get Molly either. I got just more so like her career and just where she is in life, like the way she's been implementing, they've been implementing self-care Sundays, the way she kind of had to regroup after the block party. I just felt like she was more so saying like, just in general, it's more specifically with career than with Molly in terms of any relationships.
Same. But this was, what else happened in that scene? He said something. Oh, I did like that chemistry they had with the whole corny joke thing. I thought that was real true.
Yes. That was great.
I made corny jokes like that together. I thought that was cool.
I liked it, but I felt it ran on a little too long.
A little bit.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because they were coming up with them way too like it was like, come on, man. Okay,
way too easy. Yes, but I did like that they extended it out. I didn't think it was too long.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, it was a bit much. It was like, all right, guys, we fucking get it.
I was trying to see. I was like, how long can they keep it up?
I was too. I was like, how long?
They showed you very fucking long.
Tyler, I wanted to ask you about the, and then Rod, you could probably touch on this too, like that cinematography or like that scene where like with the lights where he's on one side and she's on the other side. Like to me, that was probably like the dopest shot of the episode.
I wouldn't say that, well, me personally, I wouldn't say that's the dopest shot. It looked cool, but it does kind of mess with your eyes a little bit. It wasn't aesthetically, I guess aesthetically it was pleasing, but it what like the lights bounced off of them weird. I think some of those dinner scenes were better cinematography shots, in my opinion. The way they were doing those shots, it was super soft.
Yeah, and what they did with the sound too.
Yeah,
they started zooming in and they just
the tracking. Yeah. Some better shots in those moments. That one was pretty obvious what they were trying to. They was trying to create this. You know what I'm saying, Tyler? Like, they was trying. Yeah. It was like, I see what y'all trying to do.
All right, nice.
It was, like, aesthetically pleasing, and I saw a lot of people, like, singing his praises on Twitter. And I liked it. I remember saying out loud, because I was, like, on the phone with my girl who lives in Florida, because we'll, like, video chat and watch Insecure together. And I remember saying out loud, like, that's a really pretty shot, but it was very heavy-handed. Like, usually the cinematography isn't supposed to be that, like, hey, look at this. It was that, but I mean, it was still a very dope shot. But it was,
same.
Yeah, this is where after that, this is where I think condensation is like keep on calling. Like she's calling Lawrence, trying to figure out when are they going to hang out, when are they going to meet up tonight. At this scene, I think this is probably when it's like, all right, he should have just picked up the phone. Like, look, I'm not coming through. I'm busy tonight. I think this is where I agree with you. Like, at a certain point in time, someone keeps on hitting you up, you got to reply back and be like, all right, it ain't happening tonight.
Even if he hadn't, like, responded at all, you know what I'm saying? Like, because, I mean, eventually he stopped responding. But, I mean, there were, like, a lot of moments where he was like, oh, maybe, oh, I'll let you know. And I don't know. To me, and I know we keep, like, kind of going, like, back to the same point, and I don't want to, like, keep doing that. But just, like, being, like, next to Issa and having that, like, conversation that y'all just had. And, like, of course, when you've been with somebody that long and you have that conversation about how everything ended, like, that's going to, like, call up certain feelings. And, like, being in the middle of that and then, like, texting another woman, like, maybe I'll make it over there tonight. I don't know. That just doesn't.
I can't agree with you guys a little bit on that. Oh,
come on, Rod. Don't.
I really wanted to stay on the boat with you, man. I really wanted to, but I did kind of feel some way about that one.
Which one?
The last one, when he went outside.
Yeah, that was fucked.
Now, that one, I was like, at that, because I think at that point, dude, she in your house. I mean, come on, bro. Are you really going to leave the situation? Are y'all really going to depart at this time, at this moment? I don't know, Mike.
Just wait till she leaves. Just wait till she actually leaves and call the bitch back. Like, you going to go out on your porch while I'm in the bathroom? Like, you couldn't wait 5 minutes for me to say bye to me, close the door?
The fake I want to use your bathroom visit.
She was using the bathroom all night. She got a weak bladder or something. Like, what's going on with you?
You have to use the bathroom, bro.
Nate brought up a good point about the writing. Go with that.
Yeah, I really like, so you guys mentioned, I think it was last episode, that her scenes in the mirror are becoming too much. And every time she got up to use the bathroom is when the conversation got a little awkward and it got, like, it was a little sexual tension. It's like she had to take a break to compose herself. And it's almost like it alludes to the fact that she's in the bathroom talking to her reflection without actually showing it.
I thought that was a dope observation.
I don't even want to hear from you no more, bro. You a traitor. You're a Lawrence traitor, bro.
You all team Lawrence all day, man. But that last one,
I don't see the issue. He told, look, he told the lift, can you wait 5 minutes? I just want to show her my spot. She's going to come right back out. So clearly, he was not planning for Issa to stay.
That's the point.
But Mike. Right,
so then what is the problem with him being like, hey, I can go ahead and meet up with you tonight?
Do that after she leaves. What
difference does it make?
It makes a big difference.
You okay with you out on a wonderful ass evening with your ex, and you okay with the bitch calling another nigga while you in her house and you?
Yeah, because we're not together.
Yes. It's rude as hell, man.
How is that rude? They're not together.
You have no ground to stand on.
Either one of them.
But at this point, like,
he don't owe anybody shit. Y'all are.
And I'm with you. I'm with you.
She shouldn't have. She shouldn't have let us spend the night then. Go where you're supposed to be. Go where you want. Where you said
that's right. That happened after.
That happened after. Yeah. Nah, that don't. Yeah, but
that can't count towards what the part you're talking about right now.
It can't. Because they don't know they stand together at that point. But
oh, now you want to be back on my side, huh?
No. Not quite. I'm just saying. They like I think Ken said it, or somebody said they had been spending all this time together by this point. You're in the house. It's like, how many more times are you going to respond to this, to her about it? And what made it look a little messed up is because he went outside on like a sneak tip type of thing. Yep. Whereas before, he was a lot more open about it.
Mm-hmm. No, what? Okay, time out.
He wasn't, because when she only responded to her when she went to the bathroom.
Well, that was when she texted him.
Right.
Y'all were acting like he was messaging her all night.
Right, he wasn't.
She texted him at the table. He responded. That's one. He didn't say anything else to her until the end of the episode. So what do you mean he's been, like, playing with her and he wasn't?
I'm not saying he's playing with her, but the point is that you just spent this entire evening. You know it sparks just like she knows it sparks. She's in your bathroom. Before you return the call, wait until she leaves your house. You're in your own home sneaking. That says that you know it's something that's not really on the up and up about it. So just let the bitch, if you was really say 5 minutes lift, let her get back in the lift, and then you call and make plans for after she leaves.
That's not, he went outside because I took it like Condola, if she heard Issa in the background, she might have tripped out.
Then it shouldn't have been a phone call, and it shouldn't have been a situation. If you got to hide the situation and hide the fact that you out with Issa, then you already on the some fuck shit.
I didn't understand why he called at all. I would have just texted. I wouldn't have called, period. But him choosing to call instead of whatever, I don't understand how that's him doing fuck shit. He doesn't owe either one of them women a motherfucking thing. I could see if they had a conversation of, hey, you know, yo, there's some sparks right now. Yeah, I'm feeling it too. But I got to go take a shit real quick. All right, but I'm going to go outside and then I'm going to call. No, that would be fucked up. He didn't know how the evening was going to end.
He dragged her out. He dragged her along that whole night.
He dragged who along?
Condola.
He messaged her once. How was that?
And she didn't. And then she called. He didn't answer.
How was that dragging her along?
She's sitting at home like, man, is he coming over or what? I need to know what's going on.
Ass, I will get back to you. If you want to sit around waiting on me, calling me, that's your fucking problem.
It is a problem, but she did it. And only because he never deaded the shit when he was at dinner. If he would have deaded the shit right then and there, it would have been over.
He didn't know to. He didn't know that
he was going
to go the way. How?
Because he was out on a date.
He was not out on a date.
It wasn't a date.
Y'all are making shit up.
Nate, do you view this as a date?
It was not intended to be a date. It turned into a date. And Something can turn into a date?
Huh? Something can turn into a date if we don't agree it's a date to begin with?
Right.
Yeah. I'm asking as a question. Just as a question.
If I end up fucking you and then invite, what the fuck, that was a date.
He didn't know it was a date.
He knew it was potentially a date when he asked her to come in that crib after that lift.
He did not.
That's what I wanted to get to. I wanted to get to that because to
bring your ass back in here now.
So y'all mean to tell me he knew it was a possibility when he was choking on breath mints, but he didn't know when he said, "I want you to come into my spot."
Nah,
you think he been plotting since day?
It wasn't a setup. Nah, the only reason I say it wasn't a setup was because he walked outside and called Condola ass.
Yeah, because he was like, hold on, I ain't coming through. I already got some pussy in the house.
He said he was going. Remember?
Man.
That's what he called and said, yo, is it still okay to come through?
So if he already that he was trying to fuck, then he wouldn't have called her.
Oh, yeah, he didn't. Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah. The way he redeemed himself, Mike, I want to say that's all I was saying is that's the moment where I was like, I don't know about that part. But he immediately redeemed himself when he was about to say Condola and she finished the sentence. So I was like, all right, cool.
He was forthcoming with Issa. Now, he wasn't forthcoming with Condola, which is why I wasn't mad with the way. It's okay, Michael. It's why I was okay with the fact that they ended up spending the night together that evening because he was straightforward with her. Now, to Ken's point, Condola on the other end of the phone at her house, like, well, what the fuck is going on? This nigga ain't answering my phone call. He said it was coming through nine. So if anybody should be pissed, it should be Condoleezza.
What if he texted her before he went to bed and said, shit, some shit came up, I can't make it?
He texted her after he went to bed after fucking me?
He did not.
What if he did? Bullshit. I said, what if he did?
He didn't.
Bullshit. What if he did?
No. That's not how that works. He
doesn't owe Condola.
Hey, look. My concern was whether or not he told a Lyft driver to leave.
That was rude as fuck.
And they're going to charge for that Lyft driver's still sitting outside all them hours. They're going to have to pay for that. No, all bullshit aside, though, like, to me, like, what y'all are kind of going back and, like, what y'all are talking about now is kind of what I mean when I say it's all a slippery-ass slope, because I'm sure that he didn't turn over after he fucked Issa to be like, oh, hey, I'm not going to make it, right? So that means that he, like, so, like, kind of like, yeah, I'm wrapping up. Let me hit you right back, and then didn't, right? And so, like, possibly, and I think that was also fucked up, I think it was fucked up to both of them, honestly. And that's kind of like, when I say it's a slippery slope, it's like, okay, if he didn't we assume that he didn't say anything else to Condola at the end of the night, right? Like, he just kind of, like, went back, like, while Issa's in the bathroom, he done went outside and called her. I'm just saying, like, for there to be that amount of mixing going on at one time says that shit is too great with both of them. Like, that's like really kind of what I'm saying when I feel like it, when I say it's a slippery slope and it's inconsiderate because you're sending mixed messages to both of them. And like, no matter how, and I'll die on this hill, we don't have to keep going back and forth over it, but I'll die over this hill to like, at the point that they started talking, there was no way that like emotions were not going to come back up when they started having the conversations that they were having. Like, he knew there were sparks. He knew that there was stuff going on. And it was very like plausible to assume that a lot of that was going to happen before he got there. Like, yeah, maybe you didn't walk into it thinking, okay, she's going to end up in my bed by the end of the night. You know what I'm saying? But there's definitely a point in that night before she actually said, hey, what if I don't want to leave, when like they had kind of crossed this, you know, line from, oh, we're just hanging out being cool, to like, we are having a bit of like a rekindling going on right now. You know what I'm saying? And for him to be rekindling like those emotions with Issa while having another girl like in his, like where there's things between them that are to the point where she can be like, hey, can I see you tonight? And he's like, oh, I'm going to let you know. I just feel like that's too, it's a slippery ass slope and it's just too much mixing going on. And it's inconsiderate to both of them.
What mixed signals was he giving Issa? Because I feel like, again, he was telling her everything as the night went along.
Well, so, like I said earlier, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, maybe I missed that part.
I feel like, you know, like kind of going back to what I said when they were at the first restaurant, when she was like, I'm sorry to hear about you and Condola. And he was like, we don't have to talk about that, or we're not going to talk about it, however he responded. You know what I'm saying? That means that up until the point from the beginning of the night to the point that Issa saw that Condola called him. And this is, again, like they've had this whole really deep conversation. Like, Issa is under the impression that like they're completely done and that he's not still dating her. That's what I mean by like mixed messages.
Go ahead, Nay.
Here's my only question with that, because, and I think this is just a lot of the slippery slopes that comes into dating. How do you know it wasn't somebody altogether different? Like, if we're saying that they've been broken up for a month and a half, who's to say that he's not dating somebody completely different in this mix? There could be a whole nother person, but because they're not in that space, and this is the moment where the space kind of changes between the two of them, they haven't had that they haven't even given themselves the opportunity to have that conversation. So I just think a lot of it is just what happens when you casually date people. And you got to get to a point where you have that communication. And that goes a lot, almost back to the first episode of this season with Molly and Andrew, when Andrew was dating other people and Molly didn't even know. So there has to be a piece of Issa and Condola that understand, we're not in a monogamous relationship with this dude. So until we have that conversation, he could be doing whatever. And you have to act accordingly for yourself.
I think what Tyler and Nay are viewing this as, why it's so gray to y'all and maybe not to the rest of us, is because, Nay, you touched on it. You said it was a casual hangout that turned into a date. I think for us, it's just like, I think for me, it's just more of, we didn't establish it as that, then you shouldn't really go into it thinking that way. And maybe for me, if I was to believe that it did turn into a date, maybe at the art walk, when they start picking out art and talking about happiness and all that stuff. And then like, even when they were leaving, and that's when he brings up his apartment, as far as like, this is how I've changed. And she brings up that we're neighbors, like we should have been connected or whatever. I think that's when it's like, okay, this is a little bit too familiar for possibly just hanging out with just your friend, mm-hmm. which makes it sound like he set up this whole thing so he can have her come through at the crib at the end of the night. But that's just me going on a tangent. But I'm just saying, like, if I'm having it under that guise, like this just turned into a date, then yes, I understand exactly what you and Tyler are talking about.
I mean, I feel like the way it was written and the way it was directed, like specifically and purposely and like intentionally set up these questions, because that was why you had this really deep conversation between like Issa and Lawrence, where it seems like they're like the only people in the world and shit, and they just figured out all of this stuff. And then she gets up and goes to the bathroom, and then he pulls out his phone and we see Condola, because before that we didn't know that they were still on speaking terms or anything. I think that that was done intentionally to bring those questions into place,
and they did a really good job at it, because we are arguing about it.
Yeah, my last question, B, I wanted to get your thoughts as far as it seemed like pretty much like, have they really changed? Like, it seems like they were talking about rekindling. And obviously they did by Bumping Uglies. Like, does it seem like they have like changed and are better people, and this is a new part of their relationship that can move forward? Or based on how it ended, is it more just like, oh, I just had a good night and it's still the same, you know, like nothing's really changed as far as between us. This is not on us getting on the road of getting back together.
I didn't look at it as them getting back together. I mean, I did kind of look at them as just, they just had a good time, rekindle some old spark that they had, you know, before they broke up. And, you know, like you bumping, you in that term Bumping Ugly. That shit is so hilarious. But yeah, and they just end up fucking at the end. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't look at it as like them, oh, they're gonna be getting back together. It's just I looked at it as they had a great night. Like Naomi said, it went from them meeting up to talk to end up being a good date, a fun date. And that was it. Like I said, the sexual chemistry was already there because they've been together for 5 years. So I mean that wasn't really super surprising when they end up, you know, having sex at the end. But yeah, I didn't look at it as them getting back together or like, oh man, this is the first step of them getting back together.
I did. And I think the comment that they made towards the end about, you know, tonight made me happy and you make me happy, I think lends itself to say, there's still something here. I mean, Issa very clearly said when at the dinner table that I wish you hadn't given up on us so easily. So she really put out there that she didn't want to end it. So I think that's why I feel like they kind of ended the episode with it the way they did. I think they got to figure out where they go now.
Why did you let her walk home then?
Because the dick was that good. She took a Jill Scott stroll.
I think that they both knew, because that's why he asked, you good? Because she needs to clear her mind and figure out what this means to me right now. So I need some time by myself to figure out what just happened and how I feel about it. And I think he very clearly understood that. That's why he was like, you good? She was like, yeah, I'm good. You good? He was like, yeah, I'm good. So, yeah.
That moment, like, I know we went kind of past it, but when they established that they both want each other to stay the night together, I really felt when she said, what if I want to stay? Did anybody
else surprised? Was you surprised by that?
I wasn't surprised, but I really felt it. Like, the way she delivered that line, it really, I was like, damn. Okay, yeah. You can stay.
That's what I'm saying. Who was going to turn up?
Oh, damn, since you said it like that, yeah.
Exactly. That means you're getting cheeks tonight. That's why I'm like, who else is going to turn down Easton, like a woman who they've been with for, like, have a lot of history with, good and bad. And if they say, like, look, I want to stay tonight, and it's just me and you. You know what I'm saying? Made the girl go on and do what you're going to do.
And they didn't bump uglies. Them niggas made love. Made that love. Bitch is smiling during sex. You know what you gotta feel to smile like that?
Hey, Nate, you know what's funny? Nate, you know what's funny? I ain't seen her smile like that since she was with Daniel. That's what I'll say.
Hold on, they smile like that when she fucked Daniel.
Yeah, Rod. I was feeling like I really felt that scene too, and I thought that was dope. Like, when she was about to leave, because I was like, damn, Lawrence just gonna prove everybody right. He fucking up again. And I love that she just assumed control of the situation. Even like knowing that Condola was on the other end of the line, right? Mm-hmm. And that she ultimately didn't let her win. Like, she didn't let her have that moment. And she took that from her. She took that night for herself.
That was some female ego for your ass. Oh, you want to call and make plans?
Yeah. So, but yeah, I asked if that's what that was about. I was like, so, because I was curious, because that's what it felt like. But I'm not a woman, so I wouldn't know. But I thought that was dope, and I liked that because I didn't know he was actually gonna say yeah.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't know either. Like,
he was playing around with it. He wasn't like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he was playing around. Like, I think he was finally giving in to what he was really, what he's always felt. Mm-hmm. I think it also felt like he wanted to hear those words too. It was like he was happy to hear those words from her. And that's why, because remember, he said, like, I don't know. I think that was one of his first replies was, I don't know. And then finally, he actually was open with how he he ultimately felt was, you make me happy, so stay. So he went from being vague to very definitive in his answers. And, you know, the whole thing with her walking was, my interpretation was that was her just assuming, once again, control. Like, I'm not going to have you drop me off. Like, this is me. I'm comfortable with the decision. I made it. I'm going to get up. I'm going to walk out, and I'm going to leave because this is the new me.
Yeah,
it was real. No, go ahead.
No, no, I was just going to say it was like the opposite of walk of shame. It was like the walk of like pride or something. Like, I did that shit. Like, it didn't feel like a walk of shame. It felt like a walk of something. Like,
I got good dick walk. That's what it was.
At one point, she hit that Olivia stroll. Like, I don't know if y'all saw it.
Are you talking about off a scandal?
Yeah, she hit that Olivia stroll.
My thing was, where did her change of clothes come from?
She bought it at the art thing.
Oh, okay. I was like, damn, she got her clothes there already? Shit, damn, she just got back in there.
I like that closing scene. I like the walk scene, though. I really like the music. Everything was dope about that. She's like, you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah. All right, well, you know.
And he recognized that. Like, you could see it on his face. It was like, yeah, like, you are new. And I like this new version of you, too.
He said, yeah, it felt new, too.
It was dope.
All right, I'm done. All right, I'm done. What were y'all, any last thoughts? What did y'all think about how the episode ended?
No, what I'm saying, the way it ended, I love the way it ended. Like, her walking away and veering off and stuff. It was dope, man. This was dope from beginning to end for me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I was cool with the way it ended. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, with Rod, I'm more so with the music. I thought the music that was playing was dope as hell. So, I mean, that was the reason why I was liking the ending. But, I mean, to piggyback everybody else, yeah, I thought this was a very dope episode, man. I thought from beginning to end, you know, you had a good amount of comedy in there, a good amount of seriousness in there. Like Tyler said, the way it was shot was dope. Like, this episode had everything. Like, it had everything that you can enjoy about an insecure show. So,
cool. And that Lizzo song. What was that Lizzo song? What was that opening line?
I'm being great till they gotta be great.
how many times you heard that song, Rod? You heard that song too many times?
I didn't know my wife knew the song either until
I feel like that little dude be bounced between them. Yeah.
That was funny as hell.
Y'all watch it together, Ken?
Yeah. Yeah, we talk about it afterwards.
Mike, any last thoughts on the episode?
Nah. Like I already said, I really enjoyed it. I definitely agree that the way it ended with her just...
My bad. I don't know what the hell that was.
Oh, it sounded like email. It sounded like
Outlook. That's what it is. You're driving me insane. My bad, y'all.
Oh, you getting other emails while we're here talking?
Oh, wow.
That is just...
Okay.
I'm like, we're in a gray area right now.
You're in a mixed messages right now.
Which conversation are you really caring about right now?
That's fucked up, y'all.
If I see them fingers going, oh yeah, nah, it ain't cool.
Nah, she's gonna be nice. She's gonna wait till this call ends, and I respect that. Yeah, this was a great episode, man. It was done really well. I hope they continue on an upward spiral, and I hope they don't try to like give us another bullshit one next episode because this one was so good. But yeah, I'm really, really curious where they're going to take this now since Lawrence is supposed to be leaving. Mm-hmm. Things are weird. We don't know what's going on with Condola. So I'm really interested to see where this goes. But yeah, this was a really good episode.
Do you think they'll reveal what's going on with him and Condola or with her and him and Condola?
shit, at this point, there's only, what, two episodes left?
Yeah, and a whole fifth season.
Wait, what now?
And a whole fifth season. So I'm looking at the two episodes and beyond.
We're definitely, I don't think we're going to find out this season. I think this season's probably going to end with Lawrence, you know, doing the, is it Gone with the Wind, where one of them's supposed to be leaving and the other one's like trying to convince them sort of to stay. And so I think, not Gone with the Wind, it's one of them fucking white movies. I forget which one it is, but.
White classic love stories.
Like, yeah, one of them black and white, one of them black, very, very white movies, but.
Turner classic movies.
Yeah.
Casablanca, are you talking about Casablanca?
Yes, that's it, where they're by the train.
By the, yeah.
Yeah. Frankly, whatever your fucking name is, I don't give a fuck.
Wait, Frankly, My Dear, I Don't Give a Damn is Gone with the Wind. And then Casablanca is like, We'll Always Have Paris. One of them, anyways.
So I would trust you because I never seen neither one of them, but.
Really?
Really? Watching that shit.
I thought you would have at least seen. Yeah, I think I would have assumed you've seen both. No. You look like the type of guy that would watch that shit.
Why? No fucking slave ass shit. I don't watch that shit.
Casablanca had an upstanding black
dude. What kind of diss was that?
Like, yeah, you look like a nigga that watched Gone with the
Wind ass Negro, man. What the fuck kind of shit is that?
Why he wear a death metal shirt? Like, he just looks like a god. He wears a death metal shirt every day.
What is that? What the fuck does that mean? Anyway, good. Moving on.
I feel like Ken was basically saying Mike into shit that he ain't supposed to be into.
Yeah,
But Tyler, are you any expectations for next week where we go from here?
I usually watch the promo for next week's episode, and I actually haven't watched it yet. I get the impression that Issa might have called Molly or something because I saw some of that on Twitter, but I haven't actually seen it yet, so I don't know what to expect next week. But yeah, that's definitely some of the questions that I had in mind going along with the end of the episode and how she leaves is kind of like, where are they going to go from here? And that's going to be kind of interesting to see like what their next conversation looks like.
Did anybody think about Nathan at all as far as like how that's going to like Mike, I think you mentioned we've got two episodes left. We still got to wrap up Molly, Nathan. Will we even see Tiffany deal with her postpartum depression at all for the rest of the season? Like, I feel like there's a lot to jam in, what, an hour left of the season?
That's crazy to think about that it's only an hour.
I don't think we decided.
What'd you say, Tyler?
I was just saying, that's crazy to think about, you know, because of course the episodes are only like 30 minutes, but it's crazy when you put it in those words, like there's really only an hour left of content for this season.
Yeah. I think, I did see the preview, so obviously, what happened?
Go ahead.
Oh. excuse me. Molly and Issa is going to have their interaction thing next episode. And I did see that. It looks like, yeah, you are right. It looks like she did reach out to Molly. And I think the last episode will probably be closure with Condola and she closure with Nathan. I think they'll probably do that in one episode.
What type of closure does she need with Nathan?
None.
Yeah. I don't think she need no closure with Nathan.
Well, he still like her. He's still into her. So I think she got to say, like, look, bro, I got somebody right now, or I'm entertaining somebody right now. Chill out.
Does she have to say that to him?
I think so, for the way he's been interacting with her this season.
See, this is the type of shit I'm talking about. Just like I said about Lawrence, Issa owes Nathan zero. Just because Nathan likes her, that's not her issue. She has not been entertaining that shit.
Exactly.
So, if she and Lawrence...
Y'all are so stupid.
You've already been chosen.
So if she and Lawrence develop into a situation, right, and into a relationship with him, she can continue to hang with Nance for the way she has been and don't owe nobody nothing.
Has she been hanging out with Nansford? We know of one time.
That's when Molly and them was in Mexico.
One time. So, yes, if Issa and Lawrence start hanging out on a regular basis, then yes, it would be a nice thing for her at that point to do, to tell Nathan, hey, you've been calling me and we've been hanging out, but I have this thing going on, so I don't think we can hang out in the same capacity we were before.
But they didn't talk on the phone.
I'm consistent. Y'all not gonna try to catch me in the
they hung out the one time that we know of at the show, but we do know that they've had phone conversations as well.
So what? So what?
Y'all, I mean, if you decide to move forward with, I don't think there's anything between them. But to your point, Nay, if she does decide to move forward with Lawrence, then maybe if there is this romantic thing that's going on between them that they haven't shown us this whole season, then yeah, she would have to close it.
Yeah, she should at least mention it. But right now, she does not owe Nathan a single thing.
I would like to see a romantic interaction between them instead of them just talking on the phone.
Why? I don't.
Because right now, just because it would help understand.
Issa Lawrence.
But wouldn't it be interesting if Issa picks up with Lawrence and we finally get that conversation with Nansford about what his mental illness is, and now she's got to make a decision between the two, which is what I feel like it's going to lead up to.
But they haven't given us any reason to think that there's a decision to be made.
Right.
Like, they've shown, like, yeah, now I see what Ken is saying, because there's no real conflict there. Because they've only shown a relation, like, a romantic thing with Issa and Lawrence right now. The only thing we know about Issa and Nansford is that they were hanging out as friends. We don't know if there's anything going on. So I feel like they would have had to already show some type of something happening with them for us to really even care about that.
You think that was a friend thing when he was trying to get into the house while they were in Mexico?
Do I think it was a friend thing? I mean, I don't know. It didn't sound like they were going in there to fuck. I don't know what was going on. So, oops. Did I curse around your children?
Oh, that's the oldest, so you're good.
I curse them. That's rude. Have some manners, Brandon.
You know, I think this show does that stuff to create conversation.
It does.
You know, so that's why I didn't make much of it. But I know Twitter and the like loves that type of stuff. So they probably ran with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I know what Natasha needs to write more episodes.
For sure.
Yeah. And I like the director, too. The director is Ava
Burkowski. She's usually the director of photography on there. This might have been her directing debut. I'm not sure. But she's like a director of photography by trade. And she's done most of their episodes from like season 2 on. So it was really interesting to see her name with the director slot, because I've never seen it there before.
Yeah, I think she was trying to, I think that's why it looked the way it did. I think she was just like, look, this is my first debut. Let me show out. So, all right, well, that'll do it for us this week for our recap of Insecure. We got 2 episodes left. We wind it down to the season finale. Again, let us know your thoughts. FPS Podcast on the Reddit thread, FPS Podcast on Twitter and IG as well. Send us recommendations even outside of Insecure. Tyler, thank you again for joining us. Hope to see you next week. Yeah, but that'll do us for this week. We out. Peace.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.